Thank you very much. I'll be presenting on behalf of my evaluation team at the University of Hawaii. The PI for our project is Dr. Jay Maddock, and he regrets that he cannot be here today. I have no relationships to disclose. And I'll begin by giving you a little bit of background on active transportation. So active transportation, which I'll refer to in this presentation as walking and biking, is an underused method of transportation. So walking and cycling behaviors are relatively rare. A study in 1990 showed that less than 5% of commuting trips were attributed to walking and cycling. A follow-up study in 2009 found that walking and cycling accounted for less than 12% of commuting trips. So although there has been an increase in these behaviors in the last two decades, the numbers are still very low for active transportation. So I'm sure most of you are aware that there are many benefits to active transport. So some benefits include physical activity, preventing obesity, reducing traffic, and reducing carbon dioxide emissions. So obesity has become a major public health issue, and awareness of the increasing rates of obesity has led to action at all levels of the government. To prevent obesity, CDC actually recommends creating safe communities to encourage physical encourage physical activity. So the first, there are several factors that can play a direct role in influencing active transport. The environment and policy initiatives are some examples. The environment, this can include things like dedicated cycling routes, road design, safety and open access to open parks, spaces like that. These can all be related to the amount of cycling and walking in neighborhoods. As far as policy initiatives, some examples are safe routes to school and complete streets. And these are attempting to improve pedestrian and cycling infrastructure. So the purpose of this study was to conduct a statewide assessment for walkability and bikeability in Hawaii. No state has completed a systematic assessment of its streets to measure the walkability and bikeability. The assessment in Hawaii covers both rural and urban areas. Many previous studies have focused only on urban areas. There's limited evidence for rural areas. So moving on to the methods that we used for this study, we had two phases. The first was using GIS to randomly select street segments to be assessed. We defined set criteria for inclusion in this study. So here are a few examples. The road segments needed to be between 40 and 700 feet. Military zones were not included. The streets must run through census tract with more than one person per square mile. The street segments cannot intersect with federal government lands or be an interstate highway. And zip codes for the street segments had to be included on one of the four main islands. So for those of you unfamiliar with the Hawaiian Islands, about 80 to 85% of the state's population lives on Oahu. This is where Honolulu is located. The other islands, Hawaii, which is also known as the Big Island, Kauai and Maui, are more rural, but they are rapidly transitioning from rural to urban. And then finally, we manually screened all of the selected segments to eliminate inaccessible or unsafe places, so for example, state highways without pedestrian access. So here's what we ended up with for the total number of road segments assessed. There were 106 primary segments, and then there were two adjoining street segments selected off of the primary segments. The next slide I'll show you will better explain the primary and secondary segments. This gave us a total of 318 segments on the four islands. Of this, 135 were high volume or high capacity roads, which means having more than one lane in each direction. And there were 183 low capacity segments. So here you can see the primary road segments selected in red. The secondary and tertiary road segments can be selected in a variety of ways, and you can see these in bold. And they could be selected either north, south, east, or west of the primary segment, as long as they were still connected to that primary segment. Here's an example of an actual segment that we did assess in Maui. Again, you can see the primary segment in red, and then yellow shows the secondary and tertiary segments, again, 40 to 700 feet in length. Phase two of the project. So once all of the road segments had been selected, we assessed each of the segments using the PEDS instrument. This is the Pedestrian Environmental Data Scan, which was actually created at the University of Maryland. So the PEDS tool uses and assesses 83 factors and covers categories such as the environment, pedestrian facilities, road attributes, and walking and cycling environment. For purposes of time today, we'll only be highlighting a few of these factors, of course. Observers conducted audits between April and July 2010. And the second part of phase two involved movement observation. So what this entails, essentially the observers drew an imaginary line across the street, and for 3 minutes, they counted the number of vehicles that crossed this line. Then the second set of 3 minutes, they counted the number of pedestrians and cyclists that crossed this line. So that's what we considered part of the movement observation, and this was done at the same time that we went out and did the PEDS assessment. Now here's an example of the PEDS tool. I did actually bring the full tool with me if you want to see it after the presentation, because I know this is a little bit small. But I've highlighted in orange a few of the main categories. And observers were simply asked to check the boxes for the 83 factors. Some of the subcategories, just to give you a few examples, included things like the path condition, path obstruction, path lighting, bus stops, curb cuts, and pedestrian signals. And we found that the PEDS instrument did show a high level of inter-rater reliability. Okay, so moving on to some of our results. I'll start by reviewing the results according to county. So again, there are four counties, Kauai, Maui, and Hawaii. And although Oahu is the island, Honolulu is actually the county name. So you'll see me referring to it as Honolulu throughout the presentation. So first, we'll take a look at pedestrian attributes of the street segments. So of the segments we selected, Honolulu County had significantly more sidewalks than Maui, Kauai, or Hawaii. You can see that 71.6% of the street segments in Honolulu did have sidewalks. And then when you compare this to the other islands, you can see, for example, in Hawaii or the Big Island, 17.8% of the street segments selected had sidewalks. We also assessed crossing aids, so we counted the number of crosswalks, crossing signals, pedestrian warning signs. And Honolulu County, again, also had more crossing aids compared to the other three islands. 78.5% of the street segments did have crossing aids. Here's just a select few examples of some of the bicycle attributes by county. So we looked at bicycle route signs, bike lanes, bike parking, crossing signs, share the road signs, and bicycle paths. So across the four counties, the results were, essentially, they were not very favorable for bicycle accommodations. Although Maui and Honolulu had slightly higher percents of available bicycle accommodations and attributes, the overall numbers were very low. So just to give you an example, I don't have a pointer, but just to look at the first row for bicycle route signs, you can see that in Honolulu, 6% of the 144 segments that we assessed did have bicycle route signs. About 13% in Maui, and then 0 of the segments in Hawaii and Kauai had bicycle route signs. So again, you can just really see that the numbers were low for bicycle attributes. And to further emphasize this point, looking at the poor bicycle infrastructure, we'll look at the percent of segments in each county that had no bicycle accommodations at all. So essentially no signs, no parking for bikes, no paths. So again, you can see Kauai and Hawaii were worst off, with 97.8% and 96.7% of their street segments having no bicycle accommodations at all on their streets. Next, I'll present a few of the results by road capacity. So this is looking at whether it was a high-volume road or a low-volume road. So overall, road segments on high-capacity roads were more likely to have pedestrian accommodations than low-capacity roads. For example, in the first row, you can see that 66% of high-capacity roads had sidewalks versus 31% of low-capacity roads. In the second row, you can see that speed limit signs were actually fairly similar for both high- and low-capacity roads. And then maybe just another example. If you look at the fourth row, pedestrian signals, you can see a great difference here. 61% of high-capacity roads did have pedestrian signals available, while 10% of low-capacity roads had pedestrian signals. And then lastly, the bottom row, no crossing aids at all in any of the street segments. Overall, 46.7% of the roads did not have any crossing aids at all. And then again, you can see the comparison here between high and low-capacity roads, 20% compared to 66%. So next, these are the results we received for our movement observation. So this was the 3-minute count of vehicles and the 3-minute count of pedestrians and cyclists. So pedestrians and cyclists were more frequently observed on high-capacity roads. Pedestrians were observed more when crossing aids were present. Bicyclists were observed more often on roads with bicycle accommodations than without. Pedestrians and cyclists were observed more in areas where there were two or more types of mixed use. So what we mean by mixed use, if the area was residential, business, had shopping areas, parks, or open space. So having at least two of these did increase the number of pedestrians and cyclists we found. Some of the overall results. Most high-capacity streets did have sidewalks, and most low-capacity roads did not have any sidewalks. And again, the patterns remained similar for this with the other 83 pedestrian factors that we assessed, where the high-capacity roads, again, had better accommodations than the low-capacity roads. Cycling facilities were limited, less than 10% on both types of roads, both high and low. Mixed use, again, showed a strong effect on pedestrian use and a more modest one for cycling. And segments with more infrastructure and built environment were used more by pedestrians and cyclists. So therefore, it's hoped that by improving the infrastructure and built environment, this will help increase the number of pedestrians and cyclists. So here are a few recommendations and suggestions for improvement based on our results. So increase the number of crossing aids. This particularly on Kauai and the island of Hawaii, where more than 50% of high-volume roads did not have sidewalks at all. Improve the quality of sidewalks. So this includes bumps, cracks, holes, and you can even see here in the middle picture sidewalk obstructions. So again, the difficulty there of a bicyclist trying to get around something like that. Plant more trees along walkways. Only around 80% of the about 80% of roads had no shade at all. Add pedestrian lighting. You can see here in the picture on the right the difference between pedestrian lighting, which is lower, versus the street lighting, which is higher for cars. And add benches and amenities, so benches, trash cans, things like that, along walking and cycling routes. A few more suggestions. Improve bicycle facilities. Improve signage across the state to remind drivers of bicyclists. Only about 1% of the segments in the state had shared the road signs. Add more bus shelters and add more benches to bus stops. So just a few limitations of our study. So the number of street segments that we assessed was, of course, limited by time and resources. The movement observations, again, the count of pedestrians and cyclists, they were counted only at one time during the day, and they were generally done in the afternoon, and they were only done on weekdays as opposed to weekends. There's no measure of connectivity between the locations, between the segments that we assessed, and also the study was conducted only at a single point in time. So at this point, causality cannot be established. And so to conclude, the study has developed and implemented the first statewide assessment of the pedestrian and cycling environment. The findings have been presented to our Hawaii Department of Health, and they'll probably also be presented to the Department of Transportation. So at this point, the results provide an overall picture of where Hawaii is now in terms of support in these areas and where improvements can be made. So the next steps from here, over the next couple of years, we will conduct a follow-up assessment. Hopefully, we'll be able to assess if policies such as complete streets have made measurable differences in pedestrian and cycling infrastructure. And we also hope that this methodology may provide a framework for other states in developing a surveillance system for pedestrian and bicycling infrastructure. Thank you very much. So let me know if you have any questions. And also, again, I will have the PEDS assessment tool with me if you'd like to see it after. It's not a state level. It does vary on the islands. So some of the islands and counties have their own, but it's not statewide.
I'm wondering, did you or did you consider at all controlling for density? Because I imagine, especially like on the low volume streets, that there might be this counter argument that maybe you don't need state bike lanes because it's low enough volume that the bicyclists can peacefully commingle with the cars.
Can people hear in the back?
Yeah, at this time, I think this initial round was just trying to get an overall picture of the state. That's certainly probably something worth considering for the next round, at least, but this was just a general picture. But even for low-volume roads and things in some of the islands in Hawaii, it can get very wet and rainy in the winter, so even on low-volume roads, not having sidewalks would still be important because the streets can get really muddy, and so even if there aren't even if there aren't many people using the roads, we still would like to make them as accessible as possible. But that's good, yeah. In the back?
I've only been there once, and I remember, the Honolulu, the roads are really narrow. I mean, is there anything like, is
Some of the lanes they have been working actually. Even in Waikiki, right along the main street, they have been adding a bike lane in the last couple of months, which is great. I do cycle everywhere, and I will say that it is actually dangerous in many places. I've had close encounters. I mean, I wear my helmet, I follow all the rules, but it is very dangerous. The streets are narrow. So they are trying to add it, certainly in some areas, but you are right that the streets are narrow, and they're also very restrictive as well in some of the tourist areas of where you can ride. You're not allowed to ride. It's against the law to ride on any of the sidewalks and things like that. So, certainly some work still needs to be done. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I'm wondering if you have any plan in the policy to do any of the social environment, because like the comment that you just made really gave a little bit of spark to my take on this, that you are a biker and you're having trouble in those situations and trying to understand what the rest of the community thinks about having access to better infrastructure.
Yeah, it's kind of hotly debated right now. There's particular streets that are common to for people to get to the university, and it's one of probably the most unsafe streets right now. So there's been a lot of debate, getting a lot of people involved with the government, and a lot of people who are actively trying to change the street. That street is due for construction and renovation, so at the same time they're trying to advocate and get proper bicycle lanes in there. So it's something that, yeah, they are working on, and there are people out there who are trying to advocate for it, but it is a frustrating topic and not making it quite as much progress as they would like. Yes.
Sure.
The rationale, I'm actually not sure because I wasn't the one who initially started, so I didn't start this program, but one of our professors who was initially involved, it was a tool that she had used in previous projects, and so she was satisfied, she was happy with it. And again, it was something that we found that the inter-rater reliability was, it was reliable for the study and for the results. It just has a lot of different factors that can be assessed, so it's already pre-made. I think they did actually look at the tool, and they did have to tweak a couple of things that were more relevant for Hawaii. They did go through it and make a few minor changes. As far as limitations, I think it actually is very easy to use, but you do have to fully train your observers. So we had, you know, several practice sessions going out to the streets just to make sure, because there are a lot of terms and there are a lot of things that could be open for interpretation in a few different ways. So I think as long as the training is fully done, you know, I would certainly recommend using it. And again, just another limitation is that, you know, we would have liked to use it, you know, in more streets and more places, but it's just time again was a factor. And for us, of course, we're located on the island of Oahu, so to actually fly to the other islands, you know, it was a lengthy study in that sense. Yeah.
Sure.
States or even countries, I mean, so that it can be compared, this kind of data be compared to Minnesota or, you know, Europe or that kind of stuff. Is there any type of standardization for the assessment?
I think I'm not sure how widely used it is, so I'm not sure it's actually at that point of being fully standardized. I do feel that a lot of the main categories on it can be used in different countries, you know, all around the U.S. as well. So I think it has potential for doing that in the future. Again, I think you can also, you know, change a few things that are more relevant for your community. But overall, I think a lot of the same factors can be, you know, carried across other populations as well. But I don't know how many other people have actually used it at this time. Sorry. Yeah, sure.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much.